532 Pasik Chet. We did this already yesterday. I just wanted to see touch upon a couple of things for a few more minutes. We did yesterday Pasik Zayin Yamim Al Yimei Melech Taisif. We did the Radak. Let's just finish the Radak. Pasik Ches. Let's do the next Pasik. Pasik Ches, page 532. Yeshev Oilam Kol Yimei Chayev Yeshev Lefnei Elokim Kloimar Misasek B'Yiras Elokim Uvechochma. The Melech HaMashiach should be busy all of his days. The Radak said a tremendous chiddush. His days are 140. He's going to live for two generations. Okay, two generations. Shnoisav k'moy dor v'dor. Whoever heard of that? Dor v'dor, the Radak. Shnei doros. V'hador hu shnei chayei adam. Now, by the way, the Radak did not tell you what are the years of a person. Rashi says a dor is 70 years. But Rashi says he's only going to live for 70 years. The Melech HaMashiach is only going to be around for 70 years, whereas Radak says for two generations, which are the years of the lifespan of a person, and he doesn't really tell us what the number is. And in fact, it's very, very complicated. What exactly, how do you calculate a generation? I don't remember where I saw this, but some learned that a generation is 25 years. Every 25 years in Halacha, it's considered to be a new generation. And that means that if we would go back, Matan Torah was exactly 3,335 years ago. So if you make a calculation, it's about 125 generations. So if you could list all of your grandparents, a yichus brief. Can you imagine if you had a yichus brief of 125 generations back? Your father's father, and a profile, a book. A book of 125 pages with a picture of every one of your ancestors, taking you all the way back to Matan Torah. That's based on the calculation that a generation, I mean, it's really true. The average person, on average, how old is the average person on page 532? We're doing a little bit of the first page, 532. On average, how old is a person when he has a child? Okay, how old is the average person when they have a child? I mean, people get married today when they're 21, 22, 23. Certain circles. Some people get married when they're 40.
Let's say 25 average.
Oh, so 25 average. That's what I'm saying. 25 average. And if it's based upon that, so if you, on average, a generation is really every 25 years. And that would mean that if you're able to trace your yichus, 3,335 years going back will bring about 125 ancestors. That's a interesting number. Okay, let's see further. Okay, that's the Radak. That's the next page. Page 535. Cain, I will sing. Ba'asos chali in the Radak. The Radak on page 535. He's saying that when you do this for me, Hashem, and you grant me life, then every day I will repay the favor by offering sacrifices and singing your praises. Let's go look at the Malbim. The Malbim on Shnoisav Dar V'dar, back on page 532. I'm just very distracted with the computer because maybe someone wants to come online and the computer is giving me a little of a hard time here. It doesn't want to. Updating. Everything's always updating. Updating is always means spying on you. Conspiracy theories. Okay, so let me just try this one more time. Although I'm just going to reboot again for the third time. No.
I have this every night with the DAF. Every time I zoom, it takes me
two
tries to get in.
Now I'm in. I'm not in yet totally, but at least it. It could be also the internet here is not working so well. They're getting new internet here. After Yom Tov, they're switching over to fiber optics, to Verizon. Right now they have Cablevision, and it seems here that in this neighborhood, Cablevision cannot keep up with the demand. There's an enormous demand in this specific location.
Recording in progress.
And they can't handle it. And they cannot handle, right, all the buildings, the Pasha cannot handle the demand, what's going on. And until they update their infrastructure, so they're going to, it's just not, it's going to take maybe a year until they I don't know what they do, until they update the cable with the cables. So in the meantime, they're switching over to Verizon, fiber optics, which appears to be much more reliable in this neighborhood, this specific block, for some reason. So after Pesach, we'll have a better internet connection here. In any event, going back here to what we were saying over here, the Malbim over here is on page 532. Yomim al yimei melech toisev, days upon the days of a king may you add. Im toisev yomim al hayamim hakitzuvim lemelech lichyos. If you will add days upon the days, the set days of the king to live, Umoisef Lamar, then the pasuk goes on to say, Shinoisov, his year should be Kimodor Vador. What does that mean? In Tarich Yamov Kolkach, now this is a very novel idea. If you'll add days so to a degree, add Shakol Shana Vishana Shakotsov Lo Lichyos, every year that you grant him, Yis Orech Kimodor Shehu Shivim Shana. Every year should be 70 years. So a year is not a year. A year, every single year, should is really 70 years. Ad she'im kotzuv lo lichyos oid, for example, she'im kotzuv lo lichyos oid eser shon. If you will give the king 10 more years to live, that really means you're giving him 700 years. Because every year is really 70 years. So you're going to give him, you're going to give the king 70, 770 times 10 is 700. Yichye o eser dorashem eser pa'amim shivim ani noiderki. This is a shocking interpretation of this pasuk, that David says, yamim days al yimei melech toisev. Grant to the king more time. How much more time should you grant him? Whatever you want to give him. But whatever you give him, every year that you give the king, we will multiply by 70. Shinoisov, his years, meaning the yomim, by the way, over here, he ties the word yomim to mean a year. Like yomim tehei gu'ulasai. I'm probably not saying the pasuk correctly, Rabbi Mayavsky.
Yeah.
Yomim tehei?
Yeah.
So what does it mean yomim? Yomim means 1 year. The word yamim in Tanakh and Chumash means a year. And it says the year, this is the way the Malbim interprets the word yamim, the year should be kimoi dor vodor. His shenoisav, the total of the years, the yam are the years. And now we refer to the yamim with a different word. There are two words here in this pasuk. Well, there are three words. There's yamim, there is shenoisav, and there is dor. And the Malbim is putting all three words together. Yamim is exactly the same thing as shenoisav, as it says in the Torah, yamim tehei gulasai. Shenoisav is a year, and now we're going to say each one of those years should be equivalent to a dor, to 70 years. So Hashem, if you're going to give the king 10 years, that's 10 each year is 70. So 70 multiplied by 10 is 700 years of life. If you're going to give him 1 year, so you're going to give him 70 years. If you're going to give him 2 years,
years from when?
I don't know.
Of reigning?
I don't know. But
what are we talking about?
It is in a very, very strange type. I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know. When do the years start? How does all of this work? It's not at all clear what this means. But he's saying over here that when we multiply, each year by 70. And he gives an example. If you're going to give the king 10 more years, what that really means is you're giving the king 700 more years. Now, this is what is, which is interesting, is that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a year is a day is 1,000 years. We find this concept of manipulating time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, Elef Yamim Be'enecha, 1,000 years in your eyes, Hashem, is kiyoim esmol. It's like yesterday. It's like one day yesterday, even going backwards in time. So you do see such a principle, that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a day, what is a short period of time, is considered to be a very, very long, significant period of time. And when you apply that principle to man, to the Melech HaMashiach, which is a godly figure, there is not like a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where a day is 1,000 years, but we're borrowing from this divine principle of by Hashem, one day is 1,000 years, on a much lesser degree, that by the Melech HaMashiach, a year is really 70, 1 year is equivalent to 70 years. Okay, so this is a novel idea.
It's fine.
Everything is good. The plug fell out. I probably pulled it out. The plug fell out. It's fine. Okay, this is something which time is always the most fascinating thing in this world. This concept of time, of how to look at time. Because time in this world, we always mention this, that the most gashmiest element in this world is time. Even though we think, why time? You can't touch, you can't feel. Yet, time is linear. This past, the present, the future. The present itself is a very big challenge to appreciate. What does it mean is the present? We have a principle in the halacha, this hoya hoive v'yiyah shem melech hashem, melech hashem yimloch v'yolam v'ed. In science, it doesn't seem there's something called the present. In science, it seems it's the past and the future. Because since time is always moving, you can never stop time. There's really no way you can say you're in the present. I know Nachum Segal says every morning, I haven't listened to him in years, okay, talks about trust. What is it? What's a sign of cool? I must have heard it from 1,000 times. I don't remember anymore what he says. Trust the future, whatever it is, the past, the present, the future. If you go online and search scientific papers, scientists do not believe that there's something called the present. Because if time is in a constant state of motion, theoretical constant state of motion is always either the past or it's the future. There's no present. Yet in the world of halacha, that's not true. This hoya hove v'yiyeh.
We're talking about blocks of time. Present is kufa.
Okay, so you're giving an interpretation, but that you're saying this is what you just said. Basically, is that we say it's a concept that's theoretical, but it's not true in reality. We took a block of time. So there's a day. So we're in the present. This is the calendar day. This present day. So we, but that's a concept we've invented. Because we've... When we define its bookends.
It's a man-made convention.
Right? Okay, it's a man-made convention, but it's a man-made, it's not, right? It's not. But in the world of Ruchni, is something called the present, which is hard to grasp what that means. Time, you see with this idea of where time is expanded. Time is something which you know, it's an incredible concept. The Melech HaMashiach, he will be granted extra years, and a year by the Melech HaMashiach is equivalent to, by us, 70 years. What does that mean exactly? We have, we calculate time that we're now, like we said yesterday, the year 5,783. Leminyan She'anu Moinin Kan, Brooklyn, New York. And then the year 6,000, supposedly the world's going to come to an end. What does that mean exactly? How do you calculate time? The 7 days of Maaseh Bereishis, were they, you know, there's all these different opinions. How, if carbon, are we to just completely disregard carbon dating? According to carbon dating, the world is a few billion years old. What do we do? We just dismiss carbon dating? How does time work? Time is a very complicated thing. He has an incredible stuff. Alexander Hull, he explains.
They discredited the carbon dating already.
No, but
they said it wasn't nearly accurate.
All right, I don't. These are very interesting ideas, and in this pasuk we touch upon a chazal that opens up this concept in a new way. That even we everyone is familiar that by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one day Hashem also borrows this concept of time. One day is 1,000 years. By Hashem, by us is 1,000 years. And here we're learning by the Melech HaMashiach, 1 year by the Melech HaMashiach, by us, is 70 years. How does that work exactly? How do we know in these science fiction movies, you go to different planets, time is different. The way time is different in different planets. I'm sure everyone here once upon a time saw a science fiction movie where a person goes to another planet somewhere far away, and then when you come back to this world, this world is long over. It's already thousands of years later, because time operates differently in different parts of the galaxy. And here, what's going on over here? This is like a science fiction pasuk. But that indeed is what the Malbum says.
Einstein's theory said if you travel super fast, like the speed of light, time changes.
You can go back in time.
So that's how the basis of the theory of relativity.
String theory. Supposedly.
String theory is something else. He died trying to disprove what he had already. The Einstein's theory of relativity, he died trying to disprove it because it doesn't fit in with string theory, and he realized that in the last 10 years of his life. And that's what scientists are doing now.
All right, it's always a work in progress. Let's look at the Likutei Shas, the page 532 on the very, very bottom. Yeshev oylo b'fnei Elokim chesav yemes man yin tziruhu. It should be prepared to guard him. Rebbe mechaber Hashidim. Okay, this pasuk is a very interesting chazal. Rebbe was mechaber the rich. Okay, Rabbi Mechaber Hashirim, Rabbi Akiva Mechaber Hashirim, Rabbi Akiva Mechaber Hashirim, Kedor Hashirav Abar Marmori, Yeshev Oilam Lefnei Elokim, May the Melech HaMashiach, may he sit forever Lefnei Elokim, Chesed Ve'emes Man Yintziruhu, a Mosa Yeshev Oilam Lefnei Elokim, which means in the brackets, the editor added, Be'eze Zuchus Mitzkayim Oilam, Bizman Sheyesh Ashirim, the editor is adding in, when there are wealthy people, She'oisim Chesed Ve'emes, Im Huanim, Umizamdim lohem man, and give them food. So man, we learned until now, according to the Pashtunim, man means to prepare. May the act of kindness and truth, which the Melech HaMashiach engages in, may that be prepared to serve as a merit that he should be guarded. Hashem should protect him. We need to dwell upon this, but one of the most important things in this world, even more than success, people always complaining, oh, if only they would be successful, if only they had, but what's much more important about being successful is to be protected, is Hashem should be a mogein, because there are a lot of forces out there that are trying to harm us. Before a person can go and become greater and wealthier and more successful and get more covered, he should be happy if what he has is protected. He's not hemorrhaging his assets, and he has what to get by, to be a shelter, to be protected. And here, the simple interpretation over here is that what does the Melech HaMashiach want? He just wants man yin tziruhu, that Hashem should protect him. Here, the same idea. But over here, the word man is not you being used to prepare as being a trigger for preparation. But man over here means actually food. It's because they do chesed ve'emes with the poor people. Man, the food, yintziruhu, it will guard them forever. And it's for that reason that Rabbeinu HaKadosh and Rabbi Akiva were mechabed ashirim. This is a very delicate concept. And you see today, Baruch Hashem, this generation, there are some very wealthy people out there today. And these wealthy people, they're not necessarily Talmidei Chachamim. They're not. And yet, put it like this. Like someone once asked me this question. There was someone there was a certain person that was very, very wealthy amongst us. Now he moved away. He's not in this neighborhood. He went to the Hechrefenst. He went elsewhere. And while he was amongst us, and he became fabulously wealthy, and everyone, of course, comes to bow down to him. And So someone says, so one of the, he said, tell me honestly, if he wasn't rich, would anyone even look at him? Would everyone even look at him? Is he a wise man? Is he very smart? Is he a Talmud Chacham? What does he bring to the table? Why does everyone, when he walks in the room, they go, this person? It's for one reason only. Let's be honest here. It's because of his money. He doesn't have any quality, any unique quality, more so than anyone else in this room. He's not struggling with difficulties. Doesn't seem obvious. He's a nice guy, like everyone else. He's like you put him on the, he's average like everyone else. No one's coming to go and go meshuga over the average guy who walks into shul. But this guy, why? For one reason only, because of his money. And tell me, why does he have all this money? Is it because of his skills? There are people here that work a lot harder than him and are a lot smarter than him and are much more creative. It's, why is he so fabulously wealthy? It has to be some mazel. Hashem gave him the money. And even he will admit that. Even he will say, Hashem gave me this money. I once heard in the name of a very, very wealthy person, he said, he worked very, very hard to be where he is today. He says the first $1 million he made, he sweat blood to make that $1 million. But then after that, everything else, he said, it's not mine. I just have this very bizarre relationship with all the money after $1 million. He has probably many, many, many millions, and he gives an enormous amount of tzedakah. And he said, I really don't look at it. It's like my money. I just don't view it as mine. I view the first $1 million mine. I stayed up the whole night. I worried. I was so careful. And it took a lot of work and risk and aggravation and fighting with my people to work to make. And we made it. And then things continued, and we became this outrageously, fabulously rich. And I can say, it's not my money. It's like a corporation. It's someone else's money. It's not mine. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives money to whom he wants, to whom he wants. And what is interesting is Rebbe. So you would argue, you could make an argument. So why should you go out of your way to be mechabed these people? Why should you go? Now we're not talking about giving them covered because we want them to give you money. You have to appreciate when it says here in the Gemara that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbeinu HaKadosh were mechabed ashirim. You have to believe that what it means is they gave them honor for their own sake. Not because it was a technique of getting from them money. When we look today, I don't even think this concept can even exist today in this world. Today, when a person is mechabed an asher, why are you mechabed the asher? 99% of the time, because you want him to give money. It's phony. Yeah. The reason why you give him shlisha, you give him this, you give him that, is because if you don't play the game right, the well is going to dry up. He's not going to send in a check. So you have to send him a nice mishalach manas. You have to bow down to him. You have to go and be nice to him because you want him to keep on giving you money. Because even if he's not giving to you, he's giving to certain institutions. You don't want to be responsible for causing there to be a loss. So you're really giving mechabed him for ulterior motives. It is an avera to say that's what Rabbi Akiva and Rabbeinu HaKadosh did. That the reason why Rabbi Akiva and Rabbeinu HaKadosh were mechabed Ashrim was because they wanted the rich people to keep on giving money. They didn't want to rock the boat. It can't be. That cannot be the pshat. You have to say the pshat is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbeinu HaKadosh were mechabed them for their own sake. Not even for their own sake. Why? Obviously, it has to be because if Hashem has selected these people to be the tzinor, to be the means through which there will be a shefa of bracha to Klal Yisrael or to different needy people, people who need parnasa, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in them a quality that we don't appreciate. If Hashem used these people as his emissaries in channeling bracha to this world, it has to be. There is something special about these people that we do not understand, we do not know, but Hashem understands. And if this is the Ritzoyin Hashem, we also should be mechabe these people. Not because we want them to give more money, more money, more money. You have to say that. You have to say that. And that's a very difficult, it's a very difficult concept to appreciate.
It's a concept to understand the Yashirim themselves. Are they doing it for the Kavod?
It doesn't matter.
Or are they doing it for the altruistic reasons? And some are one way and some are the other way.
But the fact is, Rabbeinu HaKadosh is a very powerful chazal.
That's the person, not the Ashirus.
Not the Ashirus. Right, so why the Ashirim? Why the Ashirim? Because obviously they have a quality. They have a quality. We don't see it. You can go through all the different people in the all the rich people in this world. Even about Goyim. Talk about even the Goyim, these tycoons. I don't know. How do you understand it? Many of them, they abuse their wealth. They use their wealth. They do terrible avarice with their money. They abuse people. They control people. Where do you draw the line between a guy, people, they use money for all different types of things. But generally, talking about people who you see, they give money to tzedakah. Let's talk about amongst our Acheinu B'nai Yisrael. And they give out enormous amounts of tzedakah to all different types of things. And when you get to know them, you're not impressed with them. They're just a regular people. They're regular people. They're no different than anyone else that you know. And but yet Hashem has selected these people to be his way of giving bracha to this world. Why? No one knows. No one can possibly know the answer to that question. But Hashem knows the answer to that question. And if Hashem has selected them, obviously, Hashem has made a statement that there's something special about them. And therefore, it's worthy for us to give them honor for their own sake. Not because they gave us a check in the mail. Not because they sent a large donation. Because you are a uniquely special person. The proof is Hashem has chosen you to be a source of blessing for many, many people. Many people, at the end of the day, they are deriving benefit because of you. They are happy because of you.
God picked this guy to be a genius of a doctor. Was picked for whatever reason they were picked.
But Ashirim, onto a certain degree, the degree of benefit appears to be much more broad.
Than the inventor of vaccines and the inventor of antibiotics and the inventor of...
So no, those are exceptions. Yeah, right. No, you're right. Those are exceptions. Those people, they're even greater. I agree with you 100%. But we're not talking about a person who invented medicine, invented this. We're talking about the average person. The average person. What?
God gave him a lot.
100%. But let's talk about the average person. The average person didn't invent medicine. The average person didn't. The average person, he has a family. He supports a family. His reach is relatively speaking narrow compared to a person who gives $1 billion that creates something which millions of people benefit from. Okay, let's talk about it. You're right, someone invents a vaccine and saves a million people's lives. Of course, okay, that's even greater. He gave a person life. We're talking about an average person. Obviously, Hashem has found in him a quality that Hashem has selected him to be the one through whom Hashem. That demands that we should pay attention and we should give him honor, even though we don't even know why we're giving him honor. Many times when you give a person honor in a certain community, you understand what? This person, he's smarter than all of us. He really is. He's a greater masmid, a Yerushalayim. You right away say, this person, I don't come to his toenails. This person, he's great. He's great. I have to acknowledge that. He can do what I cannot do. He can be tested on Shas. Every question will get right. He can do all these things that I cannot do. Okay, I'm going to give him cover because he deserves the cover. But this guy, this rich man, why should I give him honor? His wealth was his inherited wealth. And there's no great sheikhs, nothing special about him. But yet, the bottom line is this person has chosen to give away $1 billion to all these different types of organizations, and the facts are millions of people, or whatever numbers, derive benefit and live a better life because of him. That demands, and even though we do not understand why, this Maimer Chazal is teaching us something that we would not ordinarily know. If not for this Chazal of Rebbe Mechaber Hashirim, I would say, hey buddy, get online. You know different than me. Just because you have all this money, it's inherited wealth. You're a nobody. You're a nobody. That's what I would say. You have to be on it. What's so special about this guy? Because he was born into wealth, and he gives a lot of money to tzedakah. He gives so good for you. You're nothing special. Why are you better than the other guy in the shul? That's what I would say. Along comes this chazal. No, Rebbe Mechabed Ashirim. Why? Obviously, if Hashem selected this neshama to be the means of benefiting other people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees in him a quality that we are not aware of, and we have to humble ourselves to Hashem's ratzon. Hashem gave it to him, not to us, and give him honor for its own sake. It's a very difficult pill to swallow. It's a difficult, especially in this generation.
It's a difficult pill to swallow because his greatness is totally rooted in Gashmius. Versus the genius of
Oka. No, why do you say it's in Gashmius?
His money.
His
magnificence.
I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. It's getting late. Okay. No, don't do power drugs. It's good. All right, I think we're going to leave it with that. In Yirtz Hashem, next time we come together, we're going to start the next Mizmar. Okay, we're going to leave with this. Rabbi said we're gonna leave. Okay, next time Yirtz Hashem, we're gonna start Mizmar Samach Beis. So I'm gonna segue right now into. I want to go over the just the basic go through the Seder, basic halacha, the Seder Hayoim.
Of Pesach.
All right, we're gonna go through, and then maybe at the end we'll do a little more Agada. All right.